Lord, I pray for our time together today in your word, that you will teach us today, that we will submit to your will, that we will come before you humbly, Lord, to learn from you, that we will set aside our opinions, maybe our agendas, maybe the things that we think need to be in your word, and realize that we are not king, we are not Lord, that you are. And they will humbly come before you and say, your will, your way, your word, I want to submit to you. And Lord, help us to follow you. Holy Spirit, give us the power. Teach us today through your word. I just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to continue our study through Philippians. We'll be in Philippians 4 today. And so that beginning slide was wrong. But 4 through 9. 1 through 9 will be up. So Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Give you a second to turn there. Like always, it'll be on the overhead behind us as we read through. But I'd love for you to follow along in God's word and to maybe make some notes as you read this, as we read this together, some things that the Holy Spirit convicts you of, some things that you need to adjust or change in your life. Okay, let's read together. So then, my brothers, you are dearly loved and longed for, my joy and crown. In this matter, stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, I urge, and you come across these names when you're reading sometimes, do you ever stumble through them? I do every single time. And so I get the Bible app out, and I listen to it, and I go, that's how you say it. And then I get up here and go, I don't remember. So here we go. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, okay, to agree in the Lord. Yes. I also ask you to partner to help these women who have continued or contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I read that many times as I was beginning my study this week, and there was some in statements that jumped out to me. As I read through this, there's four times throughout this section that Paul makes the statement about being in Christ. He says, stand firm in the Lord in verse 1. In verse 2, he says, agree in the Lord. Then in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I was a big Dr. Seuss fan growing up. I don't know if it was because of the rhyming in the books, and so it kind of made it easier for me to kind of remember what was coming up next, like the Walk It in the Pocket and all those Green Eggs and Ham books. And this was one of my favorites here, Inside, Outside, Upside Down. Do you know this book? Inside, Outside. It's a good. I'm going to read it to you. So, you ready for story time? Story time with Pastor Rick. Here we go. This is an easy book to read, and this is why I liked it, because when I turn the page, I like to see like one word or two words on each page. Going in, nailed it. Gold star. Inside a box. See, this is simple. You could like look at the pictures and just figure this out all on your own. You don't need to even be able to read, I don't think. Inside the box, upside down, inside a box, upside down. Pretty exciting book, isn't it? I like this book. Going out, outside. I could never work for a library because I like to see the pictures more than you do. And I think they do it like this, I don't know. Outside, inside a box, upside down. I can tell by looking at your faces, you really like this book too. I mean, it is thrilling. Wait for it. There is a climax, okay? Going out. On a truck. See, this should appeal to all of you who have trucks. He's on a truck, in a box, upside down. What kind of box is this? This bear is upside down on top of his head in a box on a truck. Is this like the world's most protective box? I don't think UPS uses these boxes. I worked there. Okay. On a truck, outside, inside a box, upside down. Puff of smoke. It doesn't say that. It just showed it. Going to town on a truck, outside. Inside a box, upside down. There's a point to this. Oh, here's the climax. You ready? Falling off. He fell off. But it was going up a hill. Off the truck. Coming out. I know, that's how I feel too. Right side up. Mama, I went to town inside, outside, upside down. That's it. That's the book. Not sure why I like this book, but this is a book I liked. I just thought it was just a great thrill. And the whole idea, as soon as I read these inside, in Christ, in passages throughout this section here, I thought about this book, and I don't know why, but there's this idea where this bear gets inside a box, and everything is okay. I mean, the dude bear, I don't know his name. If you know the bear's name, you can tell me, because I don't know. The red shirt bear from the bear's... Brother Bear? Wait, that's inventive. Okay, Brother Bear. And so Brother Bear gets in this box, and he gets on a truck, and he's bouncing along, and this box is super protected because nothing happens. He falls off the truck, gets out with a huge grin on his face, and is like, Mama, I did it! And it all happened inside the box. Amazing things happen inside of Christ. And that's really where our protection is found, our purpose is found. The joy is found, just like this little bear found great joy from falling off the back of the truck. I don't know why. As we read through these end passages, I want to challenge you today. Does this describe you? Does this describe me? Do I stand firm in the Lord? Do I agree in the Lord? Do I rejoice in the Lord always? Is my heart guarded and my mind guarded in Christ? Let's look at each of these statements and just work through these together. First of all, verse 1, he talks about his love, his longing for his brothers, his joy for the church there, and then he says this, in this manner stand firm in the Lord. this stand firm would have given the church of Philippi an image in their head, because it's the same term that'd be used for like a Roman soldier that is not movable. You see, the Roman soldiers, they didn't retreat in fear that they would be killed if they retreated. And so they absolutely stood firm, listening to the command of their king. And so as soon as the church of Philippi heard this, they would know that picture of standing firm. You ever play the game King of the Hill as a kid? King of the Hill, one of my favorite games. I'm giving you one of my favorite books, one of my favorite games. It's just a Rick's Day story. I don't know what's going on. But when I was thinking about the standing firm, I pictured playing King of the Hill. Every once in a while, somebody would have some kind of construction done, and there would just be this giant pile of dirt, or we would shovel the entire parking lot at church, and there's this giant pile of snow, and we would go out as kids, and we would play King of the Hill. And the whole point of King of the Hill is to stay on top of the hill. And so there's a little bit of strategy. You would have to have kind of wide stance, be ready, be pivoting, looking all around, because they may come from behind, they may come from the side, they may come as multiples. Who knows? It helps to be a little bit of a chunky kid for this game. Anyway, so I had this game nailed down. I was good to go. I was up on top of the hill as a husky kid, up on top of the hill with my feet apart, standing firm, ready to go. And then the kids would come and be like some little kid, and you just hold your hand against their head, and they're like, you're coming up this hill. Go away. And you do this over and over and over, and it was a fun game, but you had to be ready. And so you knew if you stood like this, you ain't going to stay King of the Hill for long. You have to be ready. And so as Paul makes this statement, he also gives a in this manner statement that comes before this. He doesn't just throw out, hey, stand firm in the Lord and good luck on that. I'm not going to tell you how to stand firm in the Lord, but just stand firm in the Lord. He says, in this manner, pointing back to what he had just said the previous week that we studied, or just the previous few paragraphs. I just want to remind you how that manner was called for, or what that manner was calling for. In verse 8 of chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Starts out with a knowledge of the Lord. More than that, I also consider everything to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, considering them filth, so that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The first way to stand firm is to know where your righteousness comes from and to know the one who gives that righteousness, Christ. That's how you stand firm in the Lord. You can't stand firm in him without knowing him and knowing where your righteousness comes from. Secondly, in verse 10, this is all stuff we went over last week, and so I'm not going to go deeply into it, but I just want to remind us where we've been. Verse 10 then gives really three different goals as Paul states. He says, my goal is to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul sets apart the goal of knowing Jesus once again, knowing his power, the fellowship of other believers, even in the midst of suffering. And then conforming to Christ's goal of reaching the lost, and Christ did that through his death on the cross. And so knowing Christ, fellowship with believers, conforming to the goal to reach the lost. Then in verse 12, Paul says, he makes every effort to do this. Not that I have already reached the goal, I am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ. Paul puts in the effort to reach the goal because of what Christ has done in his life. That is why he's able to stand firm, because effort is put in. He's not just standing there effortlessly, hoping he can make it through life. He pursues knowing Christ. He pursues fellowship with other believers. And he pursues reaching the lost all around him, putting in every effort. Then in verse 16, Paul says, in any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Talked last week about living out what you know. You know many things that God has called you to start doing in your life, but many times we sit there and struggle and say, well, God, I'm not sure what you want me to do next. I'm not sure where you want me to go next. I'm not sure what's going on right now. But the reality is, all of us can look at our life and go, there is something that I know I should be doing that I am not doing, that God has called me to live out. And so I need to respond to what I already know, not just stand there and go, okay, God, show me more. Show me more. I'm not doing what you've already said, but show me more. Do the truth that you know you should be doing. Then he goes into verses 19 through 20, and he talks about the focus of our citizenship. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. As you look at this and you go, I'm not sure how to do those things, or I'm not sure how to even remember to do those things, remember that Christ has the power, as he closes out that passage there, the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. And so rely on his power. And to simplify those five things, pursue Jesus, pursue his church, make him known, live what you know. Pursue Jesus, pursue his church, make him known, live what you know. And this is all done because Jesus has taken hold of you, because he is your Lord. He is your Savior. So how do we stand firm? Through those areas. When he says, in this manner, stand firm, pursue Christ, pursue his church, make him known, live out what you know. That's how you will stand firm like a Roman soldier, like the king of the hill, because you are in Christ. Verse 2. There is these two women here that there's a little bit of disunity. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on, and we don't know exactly what's going on. When you read through different commentaries, they'll say it's probably not any kind of big moral problem or theological problem. There's maybe just there's a disagreement between these two women. They're prominent women. They're influential women. They don't hold a position in the church of leadership, but they are influential nonetheless. And so Paul here urges these two women, and I'll try to say their names again, Euodia and Syntyche, I believe. And so these two women just did not agree on something. And so it was very important that they did agree in the Lord. And so he urges them twice, each individually, not picking on one or the other, but to each of them, he says, I urge you and I urge you to agree in the Lord. There are some areas that we can each have our own opinion. Whether you like gray carpet or gray walls, or you prefer yellow and red and punk about it. We can each have our own opinion on those things, and that's okay. But we need to let God's word form our theology. We need to let God's word form the truth and the direction for the church. We need to let God's word form our opinions when it comes to moral and theological issues. We can't say, you know what, that's just not my opinion. I've looked at, everything the world says and everything that I want to be true, and this is what I want. And so I'm just not going to accept that part of God's word as true. We can't do that. You're talking to God. If you were standing before God, would you say to him, you know, God, I've looked at the world, and I've formed my opinion, and I just don't think you're right. Bad idea. Okay, I just don't see that as being a smart thing to do. But the reality is there's churches and there are people all around us that say that. You know what? I'm just not going to go with that, God. So in the midst of those things that aren't moral and theological issues, it's okay to not agree and to be able to say, hey, there's more important things out there than the color of the bricks we use for the building. There are more important things out there than my opinion in this area or that area. And we will agree in Christ to pursue in Christ, together in Christ for his glory. But there are other areas where we need to just submit to God's word and say, I've been wrong. I follow my own opinion in my own way. And though it's hard to admit I'm wrong, I'm going to follow God's word and God's opinion. And so these women were urged to agree in the Lord for the purpose of the Lord. I've heard Rod Lawrence say this many times, and he got it from somebody else, but he says we major on the minors too much, and it's something I've probably heard you say every, 6 months or so. But this idea of we major on the little things too much. We make them big, really big things. Whether you like decaf coffee or regular coffee, to me, decaf coffee is just dirty water. But if you're going to drink it, you might as well just drink coffee. And some of you are like, I don't like Pastor Rick anymore. No, I love you guys. I'm just messing. I wouldn't be able to say that. Maybe. Okay. Who cares about those little things? We have a greater purpose to reach the lost all around us. And I don't care if the lost like decaf or regular, or they hate coffee or tea altogether and they just want to drink Kool-Aid. Whatever. I just want them to know Jesus. And I hope that we can set apart little minor things just to pursue Christ in this world and agree in Christ and agree in the truth for his glory and honor. Like these two women were called to agree on in the Lord. Going on to the next in statement. Paul says in verse 4, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord sometimes, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. In case you missed it, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. You remember back to week 1 and 2, we talked about Paul is in prison here. Paul is actually chained to Roman guards here. And he actually sees it as an amazing opportunity to be a witness to these people around him that he's stuck to. And this family that he's around. And so Paul, in the midst of this area where he could be totally bummed out, wonder why in the world this is happening. God, what are you doing? Why is this going on? I'm following your will. I'm doing what you call me to do. Now I'm in prison for this. Now I'm under guard for this. But instead, he sees it as another opportunity and a joyful opportunity to make Christ known. And he sets an awesome example for me and for you to say, no matter what the circumstance, my eternal hope is not gone. My eternal purpose is not gone. What drives me is not gone. I still have hope in Christ. I still have purpose in Christ. No matter what sickness I may be going through, no matter what hard time I may be facing, No matter whether I have a lot or I have a little, I have a purpose in Christ, and I have a hope in Christ, and I can have joy in that eternal hope that I have. That's a perspective thing. You ever watch a game and you see something and like a fast play and you're like, oh, there was a catch or that was an out in baseball, and you're like, for sure, for certain, that's how it is. I know that's how it is, and you're either mad or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden they go to like the instant replay and they pause the game forever. You're like, this is gonna take forever. They're just gonna confirm what I already know. He was out and that stinks. And then all of a sudden they play the replay and you're like, he was safe! He was safe! He caught the ball! And then the refs are like, it's not really sure whether they did catch it or didn't catch it, so we got to call it incomplete or we got to call them out. No. That happens a lot in sports. But sometimes that hope will all of a sudden like jump back up because the perspective of what you thought happened all of a sudden changed and it slowed down enough we're able to see, hey, he slid under that tag. At home plate, he's safe. Or, hey, he caught that ball. His hand was under that ball. That's a touchdown. We need to slow down a little bit sometimes and regain a proper perspective of the eternal hope we have in Christ. There are circumstances in this life that are hard. And there is absolutely no promise that as Christians, this life will be easy. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we will have hardships. But our eternal hope is not removed in those hardships. We still have hope in Christ. We still have salvation. That's not gone. And in light of a year of hardship or 10 years of hardship or 20 years of hardship, eternity is a very long time. It's forever. Forever. For those of you that are Sandlot fans. This is what it is. It's forever. Don't miss that. And so sometimes we just got to be reminded, or we have to remind ourselves, I can have joy always, and I need that reminder, always, because of the eternal hope that I have in Christ my Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Then he goes on to this last end statement. And in verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which surpasses every thought will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have this guarded hearts, guarded minds in Christ Jesus. This verse is actually surrounded on the top and the bottom by how we have this guarded heart and guarded mind in Christ Jesus. First of all, in verse 6, which is this verse itself is a huge challenge for, I would say, all of us, but I'll say for me, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Starts out with this, how do we have this guarded heart, this guarded mind in Christ Jesus? That worry that we have, take it to the Lord with prayer and petition. And it says, with thanksgiving. Are our prayers more complaints than they are thankfulness? Just check that a little bit. As you pray, are you complaining to God about what's going on? Or are you thankful for what he has done in your life? And so as you pray, as you petition the Lord, the petition is continue to go to him over and over and over. With thankfulness, make your requests known to God. Not demands known to God, requests. And so what describes our prayer life? Is it complaints and demands, or is it thankfulness and requests? Petitioning and praying. If you want to have a guarded heart and a guarded mind in Christ Jesus, it starts with a prayer life that continues on in thankfulness requesting of the Lord. And that's where this peace comes from, this peace that surpasses every thought comes from. And then it goes on to having this protected mind a little bit further in verse 8. And it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is any praise, dwell on these things. You ever hear that kid's song, Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above. No, I'm not going to lead singing next week. I know that's what you're thinking. Is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. It goes on. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then the sixth verse. There's six verses of this. I'm not going to sing them all. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mind, what you think. There's a lot of truth to that song. So much truth. The things that we hear, the things that we view, pour into our mind. And they become the things that mentally consume us. And Paul here talks about that guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. As those things mentally consume us, they become things that try to shape our hearts and try to get us to follow that mental consumption. So Paul here sets out eight different areas that our minds should be thinking about. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Who is true? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God's word is true. You see, Satan works in the realms of lies. He tries to get us to question everything that is true in God. And so dwell on truth. In order to dwell on truth, you have to be in God's word so that you can know God more. You have to spend time in prayer, as we talked about just prior to this, spending time in prayer to know God more. So focus on what is true. Going on, he says, what is honorable? Those things that are worthy of respect. He says, what is just? Thinking about that, what is just? Thinking about what is right. Lining up our standards with God's standards is what's right. And so as we find things that we're off, then adjust our standard to become God's standard. Think about it, what is pure? What is clean, undefiled, and holy? Think about things that are lovely, things that are pleasing, that are kind and are gracious, things that are commendable, like kindness, courtesy, and respect to others. Pursue a thought process of moral excellence. And praise. Think about things that bring praise. Is truth, honorable thoughts, just thoughts, pure thoughts, lovely thoughts, commendable thoughts, moral excellence, and praise describe our thought process throughout each given day. And we want to have guarded hearts, guarded minds in Christ Jesus. And we need to start to think through our thought process and adjust some things that maybe we're putting before our eyes, things that we're putting before our ears, to adjust what's going on up here. And learn some techniques to bounce our minds away from thinking about the opposite of moral excellence, the filth that may be around us, to keep our mind off of the things that are defiled and are unholy. to think, to keep our mind off of maybe bitterness we have towards somebody or something. And so there's some techniques you can use and areas, but one that I found just super simple is when your mind goes to an area that you shouldn't be thinking about, that is opposite of this purity standard and moral excellence standard and praiseworthy standard that God has, is just to say the name of Jesus. It's that simple. When you start saying the name of Jesus, you think about Jesus instead of the filth you were thinking about and the things that are consuming you and the worry that is bogging you down. That creates joyfulness. And so I want to encourage you to guard your hearts and minds, to have a pure mind. Prayer is part of it. And as you say Jesus, just jump right into prayer and ask for his help during those situations. But look at your life. What are you putting in through your ears, through your eyes, and all those areas that is causing your thought process to be off so that you can have a guarded mind in Christ Jesus? And at the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will do that. That it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. He finishes with this statement. Once again, do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. A reminder that God is with you. But do what you know. Live out what you already know. Put it to action. He says it here again as he closes up this time. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come and to get into your word today. I pray, Lord, that you will challenge us. The mind process that we have, the things that we think about that are off base, Lord, help us to return to you. Lord, when we're off, just to say the name of Jesus in our mind and just continue it until those minds, those thoughts are gone, to pursue you in that way. Lord, that we will rejoice no matter what circumstance we are in because of you, Lord. That we will have an eternal hope and an eternal viewpoint when it comes to what's going on around us, Lord. That we will agree in you, standing on the truth of your word together and letting the little things just fall to the side, Lord, to pursue the purpose you have for your people. And Lord, help us to stand firm, to pursue knowing you, Lord, knowing your church, making you known to the lost around us, living what we know for you. In your name. We pray this all in your name.